Before going to the cross, passage we're going to look at today, Jesus gave some strong instruction to his disciples that was to apply to them that they wouldn't fully understand what it all meant until after the death and resurrection was over. But he gave some words that would apply to them after the cross and thus apply to us in our lives. If you want to pull your bulletins inserts out and follow along, we are going to look this morning at one passage, one that I memorized years ago. I was kind of doing a Bible memory program, and I came across this passage, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I had to ask myself, okay, I'm into the Christian thing, but have I done this thing that Jesus talks about in Luke 9:23? Just this one passage that is so radical and critical for us. And it outlines for us the marks of a true disciple. Luke 9:23. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, I don't know how those words strike you at first reading, but these are the most radical, life-changing words that have ever been spoken. If we understand what it is he was saying, and we're going to unpack that this morning. We see in this simple verse, in this direct, short, clear verse, three commands that Jesus gives to deny oneself, to take up one's cross, and to follow him. And we're going to start with the last one first. Your first blank asks the question that a disciple has to ask, and I'm going to put this in modern terms: am I a fan or a follower of Jesus? You see, I think many in the modern church, especially in the Western church, that would be us, I think we're just fans. Now think about the difference between a fan and a follower. A fan, if you're a fan of a team or of an individual, maybe an athlete or a musician or a performer of some sort, you admire that person for their abilities. You love watching them do what they do. I have some of those. Certain athletes, certain teams, I'll actually set my DVR to watch them so I make sure I don't miss their performance. A fan is one who is a spectator by definition. We watch them do what they do. We cheer them on as they perform. But a fan, we have to admit, a fan falls short, far short of actually like basing their life on the life of the one they're cheering on. You know, I might even get to the point where I buy the jersey, you know? I'll buy the jersey with the name of my hero on the back. But I'm not going to copy their life. And by the way, for most pro athletes and some of the other performers, that's actually probably a good thing that I wouldn't copy their life, right? But a follower, what Jesus says in this passage at the end, follow me, follow me. That's a whole different ballgame altogether. No pun intended. A follower, what he is calling people to is what classically in Christian world has been called discipleship. That's what a follower in biblical terms is. It's not just somebody that admires another from a distance. But this is the call to follow up close, to base my life upon their life, to follow this person's teachings, to follow this person's instructions and commands, and then literally to commit my life to follow that their lives. Not just watch, but join. Big difference. And so after the cross, Jesus wants us to choose. Am I going to be a fan in the modern sense of the word? Or am I going to follow His command to follow Him in this radical way? By the way, this same passage, you can find it in each of the synoptic gospels. Matthew has a version of it. Mark has a version of it. Luke has a version of it. We're just going to look at this one in Luke today. But it's throughout Scripture. He wants us to make a choice. Am I a fan or am I a follower? Now, in Luke 9:23, our passage, Jesus commands, he gives two other commands that kind of shape and give us a detail about what follow me means. Because it's not what you think it means. Because in modern American Christianity, what we think it means is we think following Jesus means getting Jesus to do for us what we need Him to do or what we want Him to do. And that's not what it means. In fact, that's actually the polar opposite of what it means. And so He gives us these other two commands. One has to do with how I view myself after the cross and my acceptance of the cross. And the other has to do with how I view Jesus after the cross. He says in Luke 9:23, in order to follow me, this person must deny himself. This is the question number two on your outline of self-obsession or self-denial. See, this is the choice that a disciple has to make. Am I going to live my life obsessed with myself or denying myself? Jesus says, in order to follow me, he must, she must, they must deny themselves. Now, I want to explain what that means. Self-denial, in this sense, it's not simply you and I choosing to give up a bad habit. That's not what it's talking about. It's not simply talking about, hey, it's something I'm trying to do right now. I feel like I've packed on a little bit too much here, and I think, man, I need to practice some self-control and cut down on my portions and watch what kinds of food I eat a little bit better. So I'm going to deny myself, you know, or we, you know, some traditions as they prepare for Easter, they give up certain things for Lent, and you know, they do without certain things. That's good. Those are all okay. I'm not being negative about those, but that's not what this passage is talking about. That's not what Jesus had in mind. It's something much bigger than that. Deny self means to deny your whole old nature, your sinful nature. It means giving up, listen to this, personal control of your life. He's talking whole life here when he says deny yourself. Giving up control of your life to Christ. In other words, it means to acknowledge that my life, my rights, my agenda no longer belong to me. But that Christ, when He died on the cross, He purchased me. He paid the price for all of that. This is the language to deny oneself in the sense that Jesus is commanding here. It's the language of complete surrender to King Jesus. See, here's the issue, and here's where I think why we don't always get this. See, we just celebrated, we just sang about in beautiful words about, you know, how Christ, you know, his payment on the cross for my sins. But you see, here's the deal. It wasn't that I was a decent person who kind of needed Christ to help me out a little bit on the cross in order to make sure I could go to heaven and make it to heaven after I die, you know, having lived a fairly self-satisfactory life on this earth. That's not reality. You see, I was a rebellious sinner who was giving God the proverbial middle finger. Striving to live out my life as my own boss and my own King, heading in a direction that is 180 degrees from the direction of Christ. In my heart, in my actions, in my motives, and I was destined for His judgment, for His condemnation, for eternal separation. My inner nature was pure and total self-obsessive selfishness. And then Christ came and showed me the full, wonderful love of God by dying for me, to rescue me from myself, to win me back to Himself, to reestablish Himself as the loving Lord of my life. That's what happened at the cross. That's why we celebrate Easter. And let me tell you something, friend. If you haven't understood the Christian faith this way, you haven't understood the Christian faith at all. You can't follow yourself and Jesus at the same time. The choice is always between selfishness and surrender. That's the choice we have. Paul writes about this in eloquent terms. I want to just quickly look at a couple of passages. I would encourage you to take these two passages from Romans and meditate on them this week. He says, for example, in Romans 8, writing to believers about the implications of the cross, he says, therefore, brothers, talking to believers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature, to live the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. It'll bring you physical death. But if by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, in other words, deny yourself, you will live. In Romans 6, he gets even more explicit and he kind of states it in a more positive way. He says there, in the same way, because of the cross, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather, and this is the beautiful calling of God, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought have been brought, past tense, from death to life, and offer the parts of your bodies to him as instruments of righteousness. This is the language of offering, of surrendering. And it's just simply us coming before God in light of the cross, in light of the forgiveness and new life and salvation that we have, and saying, God, the only thing that makes sense now, the only obligation I have, I don't have to feed that old sinful nature anymore. I count myself dead to that. Doesn't mean I don't struggle with it, but God, because of the cross, it's lost its power. And it needs to continue to lose its power. And God, because of who you are and because of your great love and because of the cross, I am offering myself to you every day. I belong to you. The parts of my body, my mind, my hands, my feet, my mouth, the whole of who I am, I offer myself to you to be used as an instrument of righteousness. Just means as an instrument of good, as an instrument of blessing, as an instrument that I'm a vessel that is available for you to use. Every day, surrender. That's what denying self is talking about. I love the words of C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. He says this, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it, but to yank it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent, as well as the ones you think are wicked, the whole self. And I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord, in my life. Friend, are you still living as if your life belonged to you? That's what Jesus is challenging with these words. It's a call to discipleship, a call to give it all to Jesus. Remember the words of Paul. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I will live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's get practical for just a minute. I want you to think about something. Here, I'm going to make a statement. All of your true problems and struggles in this life come down to this issue. It's not really about all those other people that drive you crazy and all those other things that are going on in your life. The struggles in life and the problems that you have in life are an issue of whether you are offering yourself to God or whether you are stuck in selfish living. Well, I want to look at the flip side of the deny oneself coin, because there's another thing that Jesus says here about following him. Strong words, maybe even stronger than these. And so what we're going to learn here is that following Christ is more than just getting the focus off of self. That's the deny oneself. But positively, it's to get our focus onto Christ. Number three on your outline, ask the question. The disciple has to ask and wrestle with this issue, Christ obsession or Christ denial. If number two is self-obsession or self-denial, now we look at Christ. Are we obsessed with Christ or do we deny Christ? Because Jesus says in Luke 9:23, To follow me, he must, and here's the phrase, take up his cross daily. Now that is a strange phrase. I understood, and I've always understood from my earliest Sunday school classes, that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I understand that the cross was something that Christ did. The cross was something he did for me. So what in the world is Jesus talking about me taking up my cross? Again, he spoke this before he went to the cross, and I think his followers only understood it after the cross event was over. Now, let's unpack this just a little bit. Taking up one's cross isn't wearing a necklace around your neck with a cross on it. Now, I'm not saying that is something you shouldn't do, but that's not what he's talking about here. And we have a way of taking this phrase and we say, well, if I'm dealing with a sickness, or I'm dealing with a person that really gets under my skin, we'll say, well, that's just my cross to bear. I've heard people use that language. That's not what this is talking about. To take up our cross means to identify ourselves with Christ in his rejection, his shame, his suffering, and his death on the cross. You see, we don't immediately identify with this because we don't face what the first followers of Christ faced. So let me give you a little context. When Jesus spoke these words to the followers that were gathered, he was speaking to a group of people who, upon accepting Christ as their Savior on the other side of the cross, would immediately face persecution. They would immediately face rejection from their countrymen, the Jews, who rejected Christ. They would immediately face the possibility of being fed to the lions in the Roman Colosseum. I just went and saw the movie that's out right now called Paul, the Apostle of Jesus Christ. And in it, it portrays the time in Rome. Paul is in prison and persecution has broken out. The emperor Nero set fire to the city of Rome, and then he blamed the Christians so that he could persecute them. And he would take Christians and he would put them on poles and he along the streets, and he would set them on fire as torches to light the city streets. These people had a choice to make, because all they had to do to not experience that was to recant their faith, was to deny Christ. And so Jesus was very literal when he says, you got to take up your cross and follow me. You've got to identify with me. You got to join me when it comes to persecution, and when it comes to suffering, and when it comes to the rejection that you might experience because you follow me. So I recognize that we sitting here in this room today, we obviously don't face that kind of persecution. We talk a little bit about, boy, it seems like we're starting to see some persecution come on the horizon, and maybe you've experienced tastes of that in your work world. I don't know, but that does not lessen the call of Jesus for us to take up our cross. Just because we don't live in that, I mean, many Christians today do still live in that type of world. But you see, this is not simply the call to die to ourselves, but it is the call to, and this applies to all of us, this is the call to radically live for Jesus, to live for Him in all that we do. You see, we've been called to be in the world, right? But not of the world. We've been called to love with a radical love those people who are in the world and to reach them for Jesus. Taking up our cross daily is not a call to be offensive or obnoxious with our faith. We were out visiting my son a month or two ago in Topeka, Kansas, home of Westboro Baptist Church. And we took a little sightseeing tour and we drove down to see Westboro Baptist Church. And right there in big, on their big sign out in front of their church, it said, "God hates fags." And had all kinds of other unbelievably hateful statements and arrogant statements. This is the group that goes to funerals of fallen soldiers and protests. They're not bearing their cross. They're making Christ ashamed. So that's not what it means. When it says to take up your cross, it doesn't mean to become belligerent towards others. We're called to radically love and share. But when we do that, we may face rejection. We may face some persecution along the way. And Jesus is saying, don't deny me. Live for me. Take up your cross. Let me ask you a question. The language of this is kind of twofold. In one sense, it's a decision that every believer has to make, kind of as a once and for all decision. I am going to follow Christ. I am going to be a disciple, a radical follower of Jesus. And I want to ask you the question, have you ever done that? I mean, I know most of you have received Christ as your Savior in the terms of you understood that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. But part of that equation, or at least a follow-up to that equation, in what Jesus is talking to these people about right there, are you gonna be a radical disciple? Are you gonna be half-hearted about this thing? Are you gonna kind of live a divided life? I'm kind of living for my own pleasures and my own, you know, agenda. Jesus says, no, I'm calling you to all out commitment and surrender to me. And it strikes me that I know when I first read this passage, when I first memorized it, it was on this sheet of verses I was memorized. It stopped me in my tracks and I realized, I don't think I've done that. I believe in Jesus, but I haven't really thought through the implications of like every area. And at the point I read this, I was in seminary. Okay, I was already committed to going into ministry, but I'm talking about vast areas of my inner life and my relationships and my marriage and my parenting and my fears and my sin struggles. Have I really given this over to Jesus? So, believer, there comes a time when you got to draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm no more half measures here. I'm going all out." That's what Jesus calls me to do. And then there's a second sense, after you make that decision, that we would say it like this, there's a daily renewal of that commitment. Because I can make a big, bold statement one day, and you know how that goes, then 2 days later, I'm off, forgot all about that, I'm doing my own thing. And so this requires this denying self and taking up my cross. He says it there in Luke 9:23, daily. The Christian life is not a weekend warrior deal. It's an everyday deal. And it's wonderful. What he's calling us into is a life with him as the king of our life, with him on the throne of our life. So have you made this decision? Have you understood the calling of Christ in this way? We say, Jesus, because of Easter, because of the cross, because you went to the cross for me, I'm going to daily bear my cross for you. Let me tell you something. It'll change how you view everything. It'll change how you function in everything. It'll change your marriage and how you view yourself and how you function in your marriage, how you function in your family, how you function at work, how you function at school, how you function with your friends, how you function in your neighborhood, how you function in your relationship to those who don't know Christ, how you handle your money. You'll be called into a life of radical love. And you'll begin to be bold and have strategic conversations with people about Christ as you build relationships with them and care about them. And you will become the real you, the you that Christ died for you to become. Free and alive in Christ. Deny self. Lord, I surrender my life, my will, my agenda, my rights, my very identity, I surrender to you. Take up my cross. Lord, I commit my life to your service, to your purposes, to your plans for me, all the way to the end, even if it means, Lord, suffering and rejection and dying for you. Lord, I'm all in. So that's the call of discipleship in one verse from Jesus to us. Chad's going to come in the worship team and they're going to do a song to prepare our hearts for communion. And communion today isn't just something we're doing. Communion today is a time for you to act. What a perfect time for you to make a decision of deeper commitment to Christ. Maybe today's the day for the first time you draw the line in the sand and say, Lord, I'm all in. I don't even know, Lord, all that means right now. And it kind of scares me, but I'm all in because of what you did for me. And what a beautiful, we're going to celebrate the cross of Christ. His death, broken body, shed blood. What a time for you to say, Lord, I bear my cross. I bring and surrender myself today as I take communion. So Chad and the worship team are going to lead us, and then we'll take the elements.